very good afternoon to you. Welcome back to the Sunny Side. This is your number one talk news and sports radio station here in Port Harcourt. I'm Gabriella. Welcome to Architects World. On this show, we get to talk the world of design. And joining me on the show today, as always, is architect Ebi Bosimo. Good afternoon to you. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. Great to be here.
How's your weekend?
Well, the weekend has been okay, just overcoming a slight physical discomfort, but I'm very okay, thank you now.
Glad to hear that. So today we're going to be talking something quite interesting. I think it's quite interesting. I'll let you do us the honors.
Okay, today's topic is the menace of unplanned development. Mm. And this next Monday is going to be World Architecture Day, which is a day set aside by the United Nations where World Architecture Day is celebrated with World Habitat Day. Mm-hmm. And it's an opportunity for the world and all stakeholders, which I would argue we all are, because somehow we live, work, or function in some form of a building or the other, or in other parts of the built environment. So World Architecture Day is a day set aside to reflect on architecture, its effect, its impact on society, and have people more sensitized about what good architecture can do in moving societies and economies forward. This year's theme is to do with sustainable development, sustainable urban development. And here in River State, the Nigerian Institute of Architects is going to celebrate it with a day, just like it's like it implies,
yeah.
On the 4th, which is Monday. We're going to have an event at Presidential Hotel. There'll first of all be a fitness walk where we try to just let people know what's happening. Then we'll have a display of architectural works. You know, so many people have the question, we always have it on the show, how much will this be? How much will that be? Well, there's a chance to come and talk to people directly, have a conversation, express yourself, talk about what you think, what you believe, what you plan, and engage with professionals, not just architects, because we are all part of a larger team. Architects are just one part of a team of professionals. We're going to have engineers of all sorts, structural, physical, mechanical, electrical. We have some of our friends in the cost engineering department, the quantity surveyors, and everybody else, land surveyors, geotechnical people, because it takes a team to make projects work. Now, today's topic specifically is going to be hinged on one of our panel discussions, which is going to start from, say, 3 o'clock or thereabouts. Just short, sharp, focused panel discussions. This one is titled Port Harcourt in 25 Years. Why is that interesting? Right now, fortunately, we're witness to some of the developments going on in our urban space in and around the area of Port Harcourt. And yesterday, of course, the news came that we are expecting one more flyover and a few other roads, of course. So nobody will deny we are getting some transformation in the built environment, at least pertaining to roads and network. And I think we're having a conversation just off air now that even right now, with the work just ongoing, already moving around in the city has become a bit easier. There are options and routes that before may have been out of consideration that you can now think of because you now have ways that other areas are being connected. So that is a very visual, physical element of urban development. But like I always say, roads, bridges are fantastic, fine, and all that. But roads have to come from somewhere, go through some areas, and get to somewhere, i.e. they have a start, a route, and a destination. Mm. And those three components, where they start, where they're going through, and where they're ending, are where people are likely to be located. What type of environment surrounds those roads? If you drive around Port Harcourt, there are some areas that have really nice properties, exclusive homes and offices. But one of the challenges we seem to have is that almost in every area of this city, right in close proximity to where you have fantastic buildings, you have those structures that we call bachas. Ibacha community fundamentally is evidence of uncontrolled and unplanned development. How do they arise? Urban areas are attracting people at a great rate these days. People come from, you know, hither and thither and come to the notable urban areas in search of work, in search of adventure, in search of a change of lifestyle, in search of their dreams. There are any number of reasons why people come to a city. And the beauty of a city is that there's an opportunity there for a lot of interaction and a vibrant interchange of thoughts, ideas, personalities, and often, you know, great economic potential and activity. On the other side too, there is also the stranger syndrome, where there is less concern, quote unquote, for your neighbor. And so you unfortunately have some of the vices of society, crime and all that. Those vices are exacerbated when you have unplanned sections and segments of any urban area. So while every leader, current and future, should and can be focused on improving infrastructure, we cannot take our eyes off the need to plan the structures that accompany those items. And it's very obvious when you have these unplanned settlements, it leads to, among other things, you have a pressure of population. Often, those are not some of the nicest areas where people can be. You often have, because it's unplanned, insufficient facilities like water, like sewage, like electricity. You find that those places tend to, in some instances, harbor criminal tendencies. Some of them are places where they say if you enter there, you might not come out the same, you know, and so people just avoid them. And it now creates that division. So you have the, if you will call it, the bacha or the ghetto, and you have the fancy buildings. And all you want to do is now drive past those places very fast or walk fast and not be seen there at night. And really, every part of a city should be approachable. They may not, you know, there's nowhere and no situation in life where everything is identical. There will always be higher value and higher class neighborhoods and some not so high. But the not so high, the bottom line should not be an incubator of some of the worst things. So when you have those things like poor sanitation, poor hygiene, what does it lead to? It also leads to health challenges among the people there. And some very vulnerable people, like children especially, suffer even more. They suffer from health situations. They have maybe examples that are not so good that they may now begin to aspire to. And all this is avoidable if a proper planning regime is drawn up and adhered to. One of the challenges people sometimes have on the political side is they want to make an impact now, when I'm there, and everybody will give me credit, and that's fine. That's a human imperative. But leadership also involves looking beyond yourself, beyond your tenure, if you will, because none of us will live here alive. We'll all live one way or the other. So it's now within the urban environment, you can actually increase the potential for people to realize their economic and other social dreams by planning the environment. Part of that planning process should involve some public, accessible, green areas and space. All too often here, you just find developments that are literally wall-to-wall buildings, 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 and other such structures. Where can you leave your house? And that's a question I'd like to ask listeners. Where can they leave their house and go to and enjoy nature without necessarily paying? Because that's what the nature of a public space is. We have facilities, we have parks, we have everything in Port Harcourt.
Well, you have to pay to access them.
You often must pay. Part of responsible planning involves providing public, accessible, safe spaces where people can go not necessarily. Now, what you find is that when you do it properly, people will spend money anyway, but it shouldn't be a cost or a price of entry to the public spaces. This has nothing against or nothing to do with proper, economically established, you know, recreational facilities. Those too have a part in somewhere as vibrant as a city. We need them. They're part of what makes the city attractive and all that. But you want to have some public facilities like that. Is it easy to even go out and take a walk in many parts of the city? Without sidewalks, you're constantly jostling with vehicles. Mm. It is at once uncomfortable. It is unsafe. It is unattractive. It tends to make you, if you have a vehicle, you'll prefer to drive. There's some distances that on a good day, you shouldn't really drive for two reasons. One, they are close enough. Two, you could use that to do some vital little exercise because there's nothing wrong with just a little bit of exercise. But when you contemplate the route, you think about it yourself and you realize, if I want to go there and I want to go there safely and in relative comfort, I need to drive. Anybody who drives knows how difficult it is. Once you stopped your car to start again, it's you do it, but it's not something you really should have to do if you'd had proper planned routes. Yeah. You had sidewalks, you had street lights also at night, like what we're seeing happening now in the city with some of these new developments and roads that are being expanded. They are beautiful roads that have street lights, so you can actually feel safe on the roads. But to get to those roads, you often have to go through some pretty dark areas.
Yeah.
So again, this boils down to planning. No one is saying for a minute that every part of a city can achieve every ideal at the same time. But in the planning process, one of the key things is communicating and understanding that there are different cadres of individuals or organizations that can do it. If, for instance, we hypothesize that here in Rivers, the state governor has chosen some of these major roads and relatively major projects like overhead bridges and some expansions to be his focus, you have to ask yourself, what are the other strata of government people doing, like the local government chairman? If anything, I would think that they can create alliances where the main thing is being done by the governor, and then the local government people are now creating the access roads or making the relative access roads smooth so that you create a network. It's all about having alternates and decent routes by which to move. First of all, it lowers the stress of logistics. Mm. To get from point A to B shouldn't be, first of all, a mental trial. How do I do this? And then a physical trial. Now I'm doing it and I wish I weren't. You know?
Yeah.
So, unplanned development has one other cost. There is no address in the United States that cannot be identified. And so when you are doing things like e-commerce, it is possible to say, send me that set of headphones to such and such an address. And even if within that address, if there are subdivisions, apartment A or apartment 42, whatever, every space has an address. That makes it so much more possible to engage in economic activity. When you don't plan your environment properly, it's not good enough to tell the dispatch rider, come to that road corner. At night, there's a woman who sells akara, but she won't be there this afternoon. It's not an effective way of describing places.
So, oh, my goodness.
But when you plan your environment, everywhere has an identifier. And that identifier can also help with revenue collection because you can identify. So you see, there are many people who benefit from a plan. It's not just the people. I mean, it is the people, but and the government.
Right.
And then there's that opportunity for the government and the people to be better connected. Think what happened during the COVID situation. Many people complained that people were just stuck. They had nowhere to go. They had no way to survive. And there wasn't maybe a very good way for the government to demonstrate that it had actually covered the people. We saw a few photo ops where somebody would go with a truck and distribute things. But how much better would it have been if address by address, over a certain time, there was an expectation that between 8 and 12 we'll be at such and such, and from such and Yeah. Everything is much more organized. The beauty of planning in our urban environment cannot be overstated. And when we look around us now, we have to understand we have a responsibility right now, because whatever we are doing or not doing in real time now will affect us in the next 5, 10, and indeed 25 years. You don't want to have a place where you had opportunity to do things now, you don't seize them, and in 25 years, it's so deteriorated. We also have another thing. You may have heard of how there's this very big climate change conference coming up in November. I think in Germany or something like that. There are warnings underway right now that the world's climate, the temperature, is generally going to rise by about 3 degrees. That is unprecedented, because when you have just a degree of rise in temperature, the polar ice caps begin to melt. As the polar ice caps melt, that water comes to the coasts of most countries. There are huge areas, low-lying areas around the coast that are going to be swallowed up, putting more pressure on the hinterland and actually losing many people their ancestral land. So the world is trying to come together and say, look, what can we do right now to ensure that all development we are doing is properly thought out, is sustainable in the long term, and will contribute to the lowering of this, to this slowing down of this global warming. They're trying to peg it at, is it 1 or 1.5 degrees maximum in the next few years? But if humanity goes on how we're going on, we will miss this opportunity. So part of the planning too can help society, as individual people's projects, you know, with all the professionals involved, make sure that the kinds of projects we are proposing, their locations, how they function, are all considering the larger issues of global warming. It seems very remote to most of us, but I think we are seeing some effects of very different weather patterns in recent times that have to make you begin to wonder. Yeah, we've heard stories. Is it some of the construction work? I think there's a combination. And it may not be any one thing you can point to, but I think there is a connection, maybe not a causality, but a connection between some of the activity and some of the climate warming that is affecting our weather so dramatically.
Wow, that's a lot to take in already. I've got questions in my head, but we'll have to take a very quick break. And when we return, we'll open the phone lines for you to call in and ask whatever questions that you might have. Don't go away. Welcome back to the show. It is Architects World, your 92.3 Nigeria Info. Today we're talking the menace of unplanned development here in Nigeria. My guest, architect Ebi Posima, has been doing justice to this conversation. Now is the time that you get to join us on the show. Whatever questions or thoughts you might have, you can share. The phone lines are now open. 0817-923-0002. 0817-923-0003. You can also call 0817-923-0007 or 0817-923-0009. The WhatsApp number is 0809-030-6416. We're also streaming live on Facebook, so you can join us on there. You can watch us as you drop your comments at Nigeria Info 92.3 PH. Now, to my first question, while you were speaking earlier, it kept sounding like a beautiful idea, you know, when you have a planned society or a planned, you know, environment. Right. You get what I mean? But it's a far cry from our reality today. So what do you think could be the reason for that? Do we have we been consistently having governments who do not see the necessity for a planned environment, or they do see it but may not be a priority to us as Nigerians?
I think it's closer to the latter. We have regulators, we have, you know, city planners, we have inspectors, but like a conversation that Jude was having yesterday, many times they elect not to do all the aspects of their work. They're supposed to inspect projects, they're supposed to approve them in advance and ensure that the planning complies. Some of our city planning principles are not being actually affected. We have building codes, we have practice codes in each of the disciplines that we normally adhere to. But at the end of the day, if people are allowed to get away with breaching those rules and regulations, then it leads to a lot of what we're seeing. Part of the challenge, of course, I mean, apart from the public health issue we talked about where children are not getting all they can do, by the time we all move into urban areas, we're even getting less exercise. That's why it's even more imperative to plan the environment properly so that people can and do enjoy some of the benefits of physical activity. You have poor air quality as well. You know, many cars in closed areas all belching out, you know, smoke and everything. It's not helping. It doesn't, and it's especially affecting the very young and very vulnerable among us. Let's not talk about our own locale where we've had this black suit syndrome for quite a while right now. And we've got reports, we've got environmental analysis being done on it, but we're not seeing the clamping down, if you will. I admit that at this very moment, it doesn't seem, and I don't have any measuring tools, but it doesn't seem as bad as it has been at times. But how you know how bad the situation is, just leave something, a book or a cup or something for a while, 1 week, 2 weeks, a month. When you touch it, you realize that that is what you are breathing in every single day.
I mean, 2 weeks, a month is even too long. You know, just a couple of days.
Yeah.
And you begin to see.
That's a small one, but you know, the thickness, how bad it is, you notice it more
over time
when you give it a little time. And that's what we're breathing every day. It's not helping. It's not helping our health in any way.
So, I mean, that's a conversation for another day, apparently.
Absolutely.
You know, but it doesn't mean that we're not pushing enough for a planned environment. Would we say that the key players within that industry are not pushing enough for that to happen? Also, would you say that enjoying a planned environment, like you've explained, is a possible reality for us in Nigeria?
I absolutely think it's a possibility. I mean, the skill, the ability, all the ingredients exist. It's the will. It seems to be the will. And then the lack of consequence. When somebody does something wrong, unfortunately, in many cases, they can skirt around what they've done wrong. But until you have people who are in authority, who are also not going to misuse their authority, and, you know, because once you misuse it, you've compromised yourself somehow. Somebody else can point at you. But if somebody enters office and says, my role is to help maintain and improve the society I'm in, you'll find that every stakeholder will easily pivot towards that, you know, ideal. I've always talked about how professionals generally will always do what is aligning with best practice, but we're not in control of all the elements of the built environment. We're typically in control of our immediate environment and our projects, but there are other pieces and parts of the built environment. The key is to make sure that what is depicted, maybe in a set of drawings, complies with what is built. Sometimes somebody does a very poor practice, and I don't think any professional does it, but people who are not professional, we heard some of them on the phone yesterday, there might be a set of drawings submitted for approval, and they say, don't worry, this is just for approval. They'll come to site and do something totally different and get away with it.
Wow.
That is the problem, the getting away with it. A planned environment lends itself to so much better outcomes. Even the way people act, think, behave in a planned environment, it elevates the game. But when things are unplanned, part of a planned environment is how people generate waste. How is waste gathered and disposed of at the individual house level, at a group level? I make a joke that one of the hallmarks of a planned society is that even the garbage has its own building. You find that the dumpsters and all that in many of these other countries, you'll just see a structure, maybe just a fenced area. Inside there, that's where the dumpsters are, and the truck comes at the right time, maybe deep at night, evacuates things, you don't tend to see refuse all over the place. They come at a schedule that's frequent enough to ensure that it doesn't build up. So we have to do this studying here. How fast are we generating waste? When it must be evacuated? Where should it be taken to? So that you don't have the leftover that you see. You know, I know we have a recent rule, you shouldn't throw it on the... I never knew why we did that in the first place. But you have a rule, you shouldn't throw it on the median. Don't do that. But where should you take it? Let's not throw it anywhere. Let's take it somewhere else.
All right, the numbers to call really is still are 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0007, or 0817-923-0009. On WhatsApp, it's 0809-030-6416. We're also on Facebook, so you can join us, watch us live as you drop your comments at Nigeria Info PH. Now, when you shared this topic with me earlier, just before the show, the first thing I said was, well, we have become so accustomed to living in an unplanned environment. You know, it has become our norm as a people, because, I mean, you just a while ago, you mentioned how, you know, a planned environment kind of affect our thinking, the way we behave, the way we live. Do you think perhaps in the next 25 years, like you talked about earlier, we can actually achieve not just a planned environment, but a better people as a result of that?
The two are inextricably linked. Believe me, we can. Of this, I have no doubt. It takes some testicular fortitude to say this is how it shall go, but it also takes some studying. It's one thing for somebody to be ad hoc and have the force and do what they got to do, but you also have to always remember you're planning for people. So if you're going to make changes, they have to be stakeholders on board. They have to be considered as part of the beneficiaries. It's not enough to just go with bulldozers and push things down. I understand that is often a way to do it, but there are better ways to even refine that process. And you'll find that, have you noticed that it's very rare indeed for you to be in any of these name brand grocery stores in Port Harcourt, and you're eating chewing gum and you just throw it on the floor? It's rare, because there are aisles, there are signs, there are people politely at the end of the thing, there are lights, there are cameras, there are all sorts of things. And you would look extremely, and you know, antisocial to just take gum out of your mouth and throw it on the floor. But you go out to some market somewhere and people tend to eat whatever they're eating, mango, and throw the seed. You see? So the environment right there, nobody told you anything, but your behavior matched the quality of the environment. That is the simplest, most accessible example of what planning can do. The same person acted differently because of the environment that they were in. Not that they had a new mindset. The environment guided their activities. Likely in that store, there are also trash bins. Identifiable trash bins. So you know, okay, this thing I'm eating right now, I have a place near the exit, I'll throw it away. So you don't have to just trash it anywhere. That trash bin didn't appear there. It was positioned, placed, and planned at that location. So that as people are going out, they have a natural place. That is the beauty of planning. Planning is really about sitting down, taking an existing scenario, envisioning it in a better form, and then depicting the roadmap to get there. That is what planning is. Of course, the roadmap will now inform the activities. But a planned overall environment is also the product of exactly the same process. People have to take maps of the city, have to be conscious of the culture of an area, the people, how they live, how they could live, what are the challenges, is there crime, what is the access? If there's a fire in certain parts of the city, a fire truck cannot get there. Why? There's a minimum standard that a road should be. And a fire truck should be able to get to the most extreme place. But yeah. you look around. There are many places in this city where a fire truck would just be stuck somewhere far, and you'd be limited to the length of the hose. And if the hose cannot reach a certain place, then the damage must continue. That's not fair, even to the owner of the building. So who allowed that road be made that narrow? Or who allowed somebody to intrude into the road with, because maybe there was a space and somebody just looked around, nobody, and they just put their structure. When they started, who stopped them? So these planning doesn't just happen. It has to be deliberate. Ideally, it should be along the lines of a master plan. What do we intend to do? How do we intend to make this area vibrant? Each area can have its own theme. When you hear of, when you have Banana Island in Lagos, you get a certain vision. We know. It's simply not the same as when you hear Makoko in the same Lagos.
Right.
I mean, just two names. People have different impressions. So each area can have a theme. As I said, not everywhere has to be identical, but have a theme and stick with it.
Now, with all the work that the River State government has been doing in terms of road infrastructure, if you had the power or, you know, the will to, you know, redesign the city, what exactly would you suggest when it comes to, you know, creating that planned environment?
Well, yeah, credit to what they're doing right now. It's very visible, very interesting. But I think one thing that I'd really like to see done differently is the elimination of so many blind spots where they're making new overpasses, bridges, and underpasses. You find that you're driving along and it's at the last moment you suddenly see another vehicle from another direction. I think it can lead to traffic hazards. I don't know why that's done. I know that they're trying to enclose the areas underneath those bridges to avoid maybe miscreants or markets from springing up there. But it's possible to do that, and at the corners, you either ease it back or you make those areas transparent so that people are not surprised by other vehicles. Now, I noticed too that if you had to push somebody on a wheelchair, you often cannot do that across many of the roads because they do not have proper ramps up onto the sidewalks and down from them. You have a sidewalk, but to get onto it, you have to be fit. Maybe a mini Olympian.
True.
Because sometimes the sidewalks are too high. And I know that the engineers who are involved in these projects know these standards. Ordinarily, a sidewalk should not exceed 150 mm or 6 inches. And to get onto it and off it, there should be a ramp that doesn't exceed a 10% slope. These are not, I'm not making these things up. They're in all of the books that we share when we're studying. So I don't understand why some of these things. So we are not making many accessible spaces. Accessibility is a core feature of an urban area. A person should be able to go around by themselves in a dignified and safe manner. Now, if they have somebody to assist them, fine. But if they don't, they should be able to move around the city in a safe manner. I remember meeting somebody once in the U.S. and she was telling my wife, hey, I'd like to come and visit your country. Because, you know, very excited to know Nigerians and everything. And my wife looked at me and said, it'd be lovely to take this, but this lady doesn't know that. Because the lady's in a wheelchair, in a motorized wheelchair. In a motorized, so she has her own transport.
So she can move around herself.
She can
herself.
Move around there. If she came here, she'll be stuck at the airport for two weeks and go back. Because to even enter the airport, most likely there are steps, not a ramp. You know, these are things that have to be considered as an entire system. I mean, there are details, but I'm talking about principles that have to be put in place. Those are things that are missing right now, and I wish they could do it better.
All right, we have a comment here on WhatsApp. It's from Egwanwo Chinonu. He says, at the ministry and local government areas, you find a non-architect approving architectural designs. What will such a person approve? And non-engineers approving engineering designs. I think the anomalies at the approval offices should be rectified both at the LGA and the state level. In Lagos, only designated experts in particular fields approve designs and drawings in that field. So I think the government should do the right thing. Even the governor's fence in Ada George isn't up to 3 meters from the road.
You see, that is such a profound statement. There was a time in this city and in this state, we had what they call a one-stop shop, where professionals in each of the disciplines were embedded in the planning office. And it wasn't a case of them passing judgment over the person's design. It's just making sure that the design complies with the proper standards. Mm. And it was also a way of, you know, defending the public in general, because as stakeholders in the built environment, they would make sure that projects met up to the minimum or even exceeded the minimum standards. Mm. But that system was disbanded. I cannot understand why. We need to restore the Physical Development Planning Board. There's a board that should be established at each stage in a state. That kind of board is populated by the appropriate professionals. Again, if I were in the board and an architect's opening the drawing, I have no judgments over the design, style or anything. All I'm making sure is that the proportions of the building on the site are met, the access, the this, the that, and that's all you're trying to do. And the same thing would happen for the mechanical, the civil, the electrical engineers. Everybody would take a seat, look over the drawings, and ensure that they meet with the standards, not the style.
And we don't have that playing out, you know, just like he also pointed out.
Because they have not put the board in place. There is supposed to be a physical planning board in each local government, and it's not in place.
So as a matter of urgency, because again, while you were speaking at the beginning of the show, you did mention, especially with the climate, for instance,
right,
you know, how right now, if we don't sit up as a globe,
exactly,
very terrible days ahead for us.
Already experiencing them.
Yeah. So as a matter of urgency, what are those steps you would like to see the government at all levels begin to take to ensure that we're beginning to look like it?
Okay. I'll admit that we, the professionals, have a very significant role in advocacy and activity. When I'm engaging with you like this, one or two people may be hearing. In every project I'm involved with, I must be super conscious of not just the design cost and everything, but the cost of running the project. In this case, especially in the area of global warming, our mechanical and electrical engineers are key, because they are the ones who know the kind of equipment to put in a building. They know the energy requirements. They know the heating and cooling conditions for our climate. So working together, we as a team have the role and responsibility to reduce just how much energy our buildings are utilizing at any given point. There are so many aspects and elements. There's a program called the Excellence in Design for Greater Efficiencies, which is financed and supported by the International Finance Corporation. You get a certification in it. I got certified in it. What the target is to make buildings use 20% less water, 20% less electricity, and have 20% less embedded energy, i.e. there are certain materials you can choose that the process of making them takes so much energy.
Okay.
And once you made that material and put in a building, you have locked that energy in.
Wow.
Then there are other materials that using them takes less energy. And so an informed designer would select some of those materials that have less embedded energy. Mm. And then the fixtures and fittings in the buildings would also be power saving, water saving, and everything. So that everything you're doing is minimizing just how much of a burden buildings are on the environment. And this is significant because buildings contribute nearly 40% of greenhouse gases, which contribute to global warming. 40%, though it's a fail in university, is a lot compared to every other aspect. Mm. It's the majority. So by the kind of buildings we build for residences, the kind of buildings we use for factories, China is stepping up to the game and realizing they are going to reduce their carbon emissions. For many years, they kind of weren't as keen, but they're actually stepping up because everybody can see the looming disaster. So it's right there. And then as an owner, when I engage you and I discuss some of these items, we have tools now where I can show an owner that, look, for just 3, 5% extra capital cost, I'm saving you 25% on your cost of running. For any owner, those kind of numbers are attractive because anytime you can save money for an owner, you are saving the person's pocket and you're also reducing the burden on our collectively shared environment.
Amazing. We're going to have to wrap the conversation up because our time is up. So I'd like your final thoughts as a wrap up and of course your social media handles.
Absolutely. We've had these conversations, one thing, one topic or the other. I implore anyone who's around to please pop in next Monday at Presidential Hotel. There's the Royal Ballroom. It's near the place near the pool at the back, you know, that's the... And we're going to be having World Architecture Day celebrated in this state by the River State Nigerian Institute of Architects. Come in, have a chance to engage with the built environment. You are a stakeholder. We need to see you. We need to share thoughts. There will be an exhibition of excellent architectural work. There'll be a chance to talk, to share ideas, to give criticisms and everything. I'll be very honored when people show up.
And it's for free.
It is 100% free.
What time does it start?
The exhibition starts from 10 a.m. And the conversations and panel will be from about 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
So you can always pop in at any time.
You can pop in throughout the day. Come in the morning, come back when you're on the way home. You're welcome.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And as the world prepares to celebrate World Architecture Day, what would you like to say to the River State government in particular?
I think the River State government has energy. I'd like some of that energy to be diverted specifically to creating the kinds of city structures other than the roads and all that, that will make us have some landmark that when you take a picture, you say, that's Port Harcourt. There's some pictures you see, you say, that's New York, that's Australia. What is Port Harcourt? That's another question. What structure defines Port Harcourt to a person who may not know it? We know that for many other cities. How about we create some in Port Harcourt and around River State?
Amazing. This was quite the conversation. I really enjoyed it thoroughly. Let's have your social media handles for people who would like to reach you.
At any time, I can be reached at Ebi Bozimo on most of those platforms, at Ebi Bozimo.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. We're going to wrap the conversation up right now. Have yourself a lovely afternoon and thank you so much for coming.
You do the same. You have
we hope that
day.
We can eventually enjoy a planned environment in the near future.
It's an imperative we cannot avoid. We must. Have a wonderful day, Gabby.